Come on, anybody grateful that God is preparing you? Come on, maybe you can look back over your life and you can see now that God has been preparing you for what he prepared for you. Yeah, because sometimes we get a little beside ourselves and ahead of ourselves, and we don't recognize the benefit of what we're going through today in regards to what we're going to face in our tomorrow. Come on, somebody give the Lord a hand of praise right now. Thank God that he's been preparing you. Amen. We greet you today in the grace, peace, joy, and love of God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Love to the family. Thank God for his love that we can share with one another. Come on, if you're not ashamed to make a joyful noise to the Lord today, let's make a joyful noise to the Lord today. Man, we are so grateful and thankful to the Lord for God allowing our moments to roll on just a little while longer. For those of you who are watching, let me thank you for the privilege of your time. Thank you for being with us today, allowing us to inform your head, inspire your heart, and encourage your spirit to be all that God wants you to be. Remember, you're not watching to make us a big church or me a big preacher. We're here to help you become the biggest and best Christian that you can possibly be. Like us, love us, share us with family members and friends, and let them know there's never been a better time for hope. For all of you who are present, those of you who are watching, man, I hope and pray that you made it through the storm and made it through the rain, all in one piece. Grateful to see you here on today. We were blessed. We only had one incident on our property. The fence blew over. And thank God it blew in the neighbor's yard and not in my yard. No. Let me tell you why. Because they had nothing in their yard. I had a car in my driveway. So when it fell over into their yard, there was nothing there. I was like, praise God, because I got a car sitting back there. David, we got a car sitting back there. And man, that thing almost got hit by that fence. So I was thanking God that the fence leaned the other way and didn't lean that way. But for those of you who may have had some damage, maybe you need some help in cleaning up. If there's a way that we can help support you through your cleanup efforts, through what you're going through, please call the church office and let us know. That's why we're here. That's why we are the disciples of Jesus that we are. We want to be his hands and we want to be his feet. And so if there's a way that we can help you, if you're going through some things, maybe you just need somebody to walk alongside you, we would love to be able to do that for you. So call the church and let us know wherever you are. I want to praise God for our children's ministry. Our children's ministry does a tremendous job. They just concluded their upward soccer season. Upward soccer season. This is our sports and outreach ministry for our children. We do basketball, we do football, and we started soccer several years ago. And this year we had record number of children participating in soccer. 58 children participated in soccer this year, and 13 of them expressed their faith in Jesus Christ. And so, come on, oh no, we can do better than that. Amen. We're grateful and thankful to the Lord for God allowing us the privilege to be able to share his word in an age-appropriate, culturally relevant way. And especially if we can help children to come to know Jesus early, help disciple them, help them become the people that God wants them to be, it is an impact that the world will feel for years to come. Rooted and grounded, make some noise wherever you are. Man, we are grateful and thankful for Rooted and Grounded, our discipleship culture, our shift that has taken place. And man, I am grateful to God for all of you who have taken on the charge, taken on the mantle, first to recognize you are a disciple of Jesus. Everybody say, I am a disciple of Jesus. Yeah, if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your disciple, you are a disciple of Jesus. Now, you determine what kind of disciple you are, but you are a disciple of Jesus. But secondly, I want to thank those of you who have made that greater step to say, now I recognize that I am responsible to not only be a disciple, but to make a disciple. And I want to thank those of you who have taken on that charge and have taken it on full force. being discipled doesn't mean a thing if you don't make God's purpose for your living your purpose for your life, right? Let me say it again. You have to make God's purpose for your living your purpose for your life. And it is only when you do that that you find ultimate fulfillment there. And so we're grateful and thankful to the Lord for that. I want to thank those of you who have signed up for. There is another training coming up in a couple of weeks for the Gladiators Virtual Altar Prayer Ministry. And I want to encourage you to sign up if you believe that you are a prayer warrior, that you want to focus on praying for others, interceding on behalf of others, praying face to face with others. This is a ministry that's going to give you an opportunity to do that. And we're looking forward to that. We have one more training opportunity before we kick off the Gladiators ministry. And if you're wondering what Gladiators stand for, you need to come to the training so you could find out why we're calling it the Gladiators ministry. But we're grateful and thankful to the Lord for that. Today we want to celebrate the I Will ministry here at our church, part of our discipleship culture. The I Will discipleship groups study 9 traits of an outwardly focused Christian. It occurs over a 4-week span, 4 consecutive weeks, normally starting the first Sunday of the month. Groups are available in person as well as virtually, and for in-person groups, childcare is available. If you have joined in 2024, then you should have received an invitation to an I Will group. If you have not, check your spam, check your junk mail, but you should have received an invitation to be part of the I Will group unless you went right into a rooted group. That's the only way you would have missed it. I want to ask Letitia Thomas. Letitia, where are you? Come on up. Come on up. Here, oh, here you go. Come on. Letitia Thomas is going to share her testimony today. Amen.
Good morning. Okay. He said, don't be mic shy. When I came to Good Hope, I thank God for this place, God's place, Good Hope. My first life group was I Will. I couldn't attend in person. Is it good? Okay. Sorry. I couldn't attend an in-person event because I'm a full-time caregiver for my mom who has Alzheimer's dementia and was facing a lot of medical challenges. I Will allowed me to be able to connect via Zoom, and it was a blessing. It was my first life group here. I was the only one who signed up for it though. But Toya Coleman held a whole class just for me. And that showed me that I matter. I matter to God. I matter to Good Hope. And every member matters. I Will shed light on mindsets and attitudes I didn't even know I had. And I learned more about church membership, about unity in the body of Christ, about service than I ever thought I knew. But it was more than that. It was a call to action. So when the next Rooted and Grounded class event came around and it was offered through Zoom, I was like, oh, thank you, Lord. I jumped right in on it. I was able to complete it. I participated in an live service event with Star of Hope with my team. I was able to participate in the cardboard testimony as well by a PowerPoint presentation, and I even graduated through Zoom. So I can tell you, if you want to, if you have a desire to connect, then do that. If you can't do it live, face to face, then just come to us via Zoom. God is good. I'll meet you there, because now I will be and I will Zoom facilitator. And I hope to be for you what Tanya Coleman was for me. So just make a decision. Don't say I may, I might, I would. Say I will. Amen.
Come on, y'all, thank God for Sister Thompson, Thomas. Man, what a blessing. I need all of those. Come on, stand and let's thank God for her. So if you look on the screen, Letitia Thomas, Panchetta, Shamenka, Shaquana, and Derica, I want all of them to stand up wherever they are. Just raise your hand wherever they are. There are several of them who are here today. Come on, let's thank God for them. Amen. They will be receiving their certificates today of completion of I Will. And man, I'm just grateful to the Lord. Can I tell you something that I was reminded of today? Change is inevitable. Change is inevitable. Growth is a choice. Right? Change is inevitable. Growth is a choice. Somebody tweet that if you will. Because people need to understand, you're going to change. Even when you don't want to change, you're going to change. Nobody likes change unless they're wearing a wet diaper. Nobody likes change. But growth is a choice. You got to choose to grow. And sometimes growth is uncomfortable. Sometimes growth is uncomfortable. I remember when I was younger, and I was going through some extreme pain in my life, my knees and my back. I was just having a lot of pain. And I went to doctor after doctor, and they finally discovered, Deacon Stevens, that I had growing pains. That as my bones were growing and I was hitting growth spurts, I remember one year I went from about 5'9 to 6'2, right? And I just, man, shot up over the summer, and I was having extreme growing pains. And a lot of times we want growth, but we don't want the pain associated with growth. You got to choose to grow, and you have to choose to allow God. So I want to thank Letitia for her testimony today, and I want to thank all of our I Will graduates for doing the work that they have done to grow and become all that God wants them to be. This week, we're focusing again on you were created to become like God. And remember, there are three questions that our purpose-driven life curriculum focuses on. One is, why am I alive? That's the question of existence. One is, does my life matter? And that's the question of significance. And the third question is, what on earth am I here for? That's the question of purpose. And I want you to think about that. If you can answer those three questions, why am I alive? Does my life matter? And what on earth am I here for? If you can answer those questions in a positive, affirming way, then you have a reason to get up every morning to do what God gives you an opportunity to do, beyond a paycheck, beyond the accumulation of cash, cars, commodities, clothes, creature comforts. You actually have a God-given purpose for your life and your living. And how many of you can testify nothing makes a difference like knowing you're doing what God has called you to do? Amen? I don't care if it's momentary obedience. Man, there's no greater feeling in the world than to know I'm being used by God to do God's will. Let's go to God in prayer and ask God's blessings on our time today. Father, we bless you and we thank you for today. We pray now that everything that we do and say will be pleasing in your sight. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, my strength and redeemer. Have your way as only you can. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So depending on the city or town that you're in, it's really prevalent in cities like New York around Times Square or
on the Las Vegas Strip, you will see impersonators of famous people. They work hard to look like the person. Some will go so far as to sound like the person and move like the person. There are people who make a very, very good living as a performer impersonating famous people. You have seen people, for example, impersonating Michael Jackson or impersonating Prince for many years because he died so young. There were people who were impersonating Elvis Presley, and they would have those chopped sideburns, and they would have the hair, and they would snarl their lip when they talk like Elvis because they wanted to impersonate Elvis. And when they impersonate them, the idea is when you see them, you have a moment where you remember the person who they are impersonating. And some people are really, really good at it. A couple of years ago, my wife and I went on a trip with Heavenly Match Travel. We went to New York City to see some plays, and the two plays we went to on that occasion was the Tina Turner play and MJ, the story of Michael Jackson. And when you went to the MJ play, I don't know how many of you have ever seen Michael Jackson, the King of Pop, perform live, but I've got to tell you, when you go to that play and that young man who won a Tony Award as the best actor on Broadway, when you saw him play Michael Jackson, you felt like you were looking at Michael Jackson. I mean, the dude had the moves, he had the sound, he had the manner. I mean, he played, matter of fact, he was so good at playing Michael Jackson that it reportedly was said that when Michael Jackson's family went and Michael Jackson's mother, Catherine, saw the play, she began to have an anxiety attack because he looked and acted so much like Michael. Can I ask you a question? Would anybody be moved if they watched you and you acted and sounded so much like Jesus that they would say, oh my God, that if it don't look like Jesus, they still sound like Jesus. Like would anybody confuse you with the master? When anybody say there's so much Jesus in them, man, I want to be like you. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, he is the reflection of God's glory and the exact imprint of God's very being, and he sustains all things by his powerful word. When he had made purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Jesus is the exact likeness of God. So much so that the scripture says if you want to see a picture of the invisible God, look at the visible Jesus. Because he is the embodiment of God. But now here's the challenge. If Jesus is the visible image of God, who is the visible image of the ascended Jesus? See, the truth of the matter is, my brothers and sisters, nobody's going to see Jesus on earth if they don't see Jesus in you. If they don't see Jesus in those of us who say we are believers, who say we represent Jesus, who say we are his heavenly ambassadors on earth, if they can't see Jesus in us, if they can't hear Jesus in us, then they many times won't see Jesus at all. Today, for a few moments, I want to continue our thought that we began on last week, how to become more like Jesus. How to become more like Jesus. The Bible is clear. You and I were created to be like Jesus. 2 Corinthians 3:18, let's read it together. So all of us who have had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like him as we are changed into what? As we are changed into his glorious image. God has a process that we must go through. Christ's likeness is not given, it must be developed. Once we are saved, salvation is just the start of our journey. It's not the end of our journey. That's why you have so many Christians who have grown old but have not grown up, because they have made the mistake of thinking that chronological progression equals a growth in spiritual maturity. They make the mistake of thinking because they're old and they can't do what they used to do, that somehow that's a sign of sanctification, when it's just a sign of old age. You and I have to make a commitment to grow, because growth is a choice. Now, I shared with you on last week two things. So let me run through part one very quickly, and then I want to anchor down and park on today's point in part two. I shared with you last week in Ephesians 4, verses 21 through 22, in order to become like Jesus, the Apostle Paul says, you must take off your old sin nature and way of living. You must take off your old sin nature and way of living. Since you have heard about Jesus, verse 21, Ephesians 4, and have learned the truth that comes from him, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. So Paul says, in reaction to what you heard and know about Jesus, that he is the way, the truth, and the life, Paul says you must live out that truth. How do you live out that truth, that he is the way, the truth, and the life? He says you've got to live it out first and foremost by throwing off. Everybody say throw off. Now, I didn't say throwed off. Right? There's some folk that we would describe as being throwed off. He says, no, I'm not talking about you being throwed off. You have to throw off your old sinful nature. That word for throw off means to put away, to cast off, to lay aside without the intention of picking it back up again. You get rid of it. And here's what's interesting for you and for me. It's in the middle voice, which means what? When we throw off, we're not praying, asking God to take off of us. He says there are some things you and I are responsible to throw off, because if we believe we are dependent upon God to take it off and we can't take it off, then we'll blame somebody else when it stays on us. We'll blame God, or in the added words of that old comic, Flip Wilson, the devil made me do it. We'll blame anything and everybody else for what we have not chosen to take on ourselves. He says, you and I have a responsibility to throw it off. Now, you can pray for God's help, but ultimately, you have to take responsibility. So when the Lord looks at your life and he sees that old sinful nature still on you, you have not made the decision to stop living the way you were living before you knew Christ. You have not made the decision or commitment to get rid of those actions, those attitudes, or those associates that are causing your old sin nature to thrive. Paul says you have a responsibility to throw it off. So let me ask you a question. What do you need to put out of your life? Who do you need to put out of your life? What attitude do you need to change that is a reflection of your old sin nature? What action do you need to stop committing? He says you got to make a decision to throw it off. Second thing I shared with you last week, you must let the Holy Spirit change the way you think. You must let the Holy Spirit change the way you think. Ephesians 4:23, the New Living Translation says, instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Ephesians 4:23, the ESV translation says, and to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. How you live is based on what you believe. Don't tell me you don't believe something when your behavior says something else. Because how you live is evidence of what you believe. Paul says you've got to throw off. He says, but then you got to allow yourself, your mind, to be renewed. Now, here's what's interesting about this renewal process. One, it's in the present tense. So you have to continually allow your mind to be renewed. Like, in other words, this is not a one-time shot. This is not a one-time deal where you say, okay, woo, my mind is renewed. Now I'm good for the rest of my life. Because he understands that your mind is a battleground. There are things that are always calling, trying to get your attention, trying to get your control. So he says, you've got to be in this perpetual state of being renewed. But watch this. It's in the present tense, but it's in the passive voice. Now you say, what does it mean to be in the passive voice? You can't renew your own mind. He says you've got to allow God to renew your mind. See, here's one of the things that I've learned. All the years I've been teaching, at every level that I've taught, middle school, high school, college, graduate school, every area of education that I've taught in, I've learned a valuable lesson. You never let students grade their own exams. I've learned that if you let somebody grade their own exams, they're going to come up with an A. Even on a true-false test. They're going to argue why it's false, even though it's true, or how they see it, even though that's not the fact, right? They're going to give themselves an A. Listen, Paul says you can't renew your own mind. That word for mind, the intellect, understanding, the seat of reflective consciousness, comprising the faculties of perception and understanding. He says that your mind has to be renewed by the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of God has to do a work on you. But watch this. While you are responsible to take off your old nature, you have to submit yourself and allow God to work on your mind, to work on your spirit, to renew who you are. Because you can't do it in yourself. Now, don't miss the order. You got to take off before the Holy Ghost can renew. God can't renew while you in and doing what you should not be in or doing. You got to do your part and then trust God to do his part. Proverbs 23:7 says, for as he thinks within himself, so he is. Your mind needs to be renewed because everything about who you are goes back to your thinking. So when you run into somebody with stinking thinking, you're likely going to run into somebody with stinking behavior, because their thinking is going to guide their thoughts and guide their behavior. Look at Romans 8:7. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. The devil wants to do what? Blind your, not eyes, he wants to blind your mind. He wants to get you so focused and thinking in the wrong way that you will miss right information that's coming in front of you because of how you are thinking. So he says you got to let your mind be renewed by the power of the Holy Spirit. That takes us to point one of how to become more like Jesus, part two. Here's the one point for today. And if you get this, this is going to help you. Number one, you must put on your new nature. You must put on your new nature. Everybody say, put on. Now, watch what he says, verse 24. The New Living Translation says, put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. The ESV translation says, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Paul says, when you allow the Holy Spirit to change the way you think, you're now ready to start doing what you need to do to become more like Jesus. But you can't put on the new until you have first taken off the old, and you won't appreciate the new until you allow God to renew your mind. That word put on, it's a compound word, again, in the middle voice. To put on oneself or to be clothed with. So remember, I got to put off or take off middle voice. Be renewed, passive voice. Put on middle voice. I've got to take responsibility to put on Christ so that when people see me, they see more of Christ and less of me. And you have to do this with God's power, but you have to do it for yourself. That new nature, that regenerated person, that born-again person is not just about salvation, but it's also about sanctification. It's about being in the process of becoming, and understand, as long as we are in this flesh, listen carefully, we are always in the process of becoming, and on this side of glory, we will never get to the place where we have fully become. We are always in the process of becoming. We are becoming in terms of our fellowship with God. We are becoming in terms of our obedience to God's will. We are becoming in terms of our devotion to God's service. We are responsible to begin, in essence, living life all over again. And we have to make the decision for ourselves. Look at Romans chapter 8. Verse 5 says, those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things, but those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death, but letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. Now, don't miss the order. You got to take off. You got to renew. And you've got to put on. And this process, while it is laid out linearly in terms of 1, 2, 3, may be dynamic in terms of how you apply it. You got to take off. You got to allow God to renew your mind. But while he's renewing your mind, you might find out something else you need to take off. And you might say, Lord, wait a minute, I got to take this off. But why are you taking that off? You got to put some new stuff on. All right. In other words, you can't sit there and say, let me see, I got 10 things I need to get rid of in my life. And I'm not going to let the Lord work on me until I get all 10 of those things out of my life. It's like, no, you got to get working now. And get in the process of becoming. But you got to do it in the right order. For each item. So Brandon was a little boy, and I had laid out some clothes for him to put on the bed. We had to go somewhere that evening, but he was at that age where, you know, he was pretty much dressing himself. And so I said, Brandon, I said, go in there, I said, and put the clothes on that are on the bed. He had come home from school, he needed to change. And I said, go in there and put on the clothes that I left for you on the bed. And I'm in the kitchen doing something, and I hear him in there frustrated, like kind of hollering, like crying almost. And I'm like, man, what is, and I'm struggling. I'm like, man, what is going on in there? And so I walked in there. I said, Bud, I said, what's wrong? And he's trying to put his pants on. Dad, I can't get my pants on. I'm trying to put them on. I can't get my clothes on. And I noticed something. He heard me literally say, put them on. But he didn't take off what he already had on. So he's trying to pull his pants on over his sneakers and over his clothes. And he got frustrated. And I said, bud, I'm sorry, man. I said, no. Let's take off what you got on first. Let's take this off, and then we can put on. So I helped him take them off, and I helped him put on his clothes, and he was good. And what I realized was a very simple lesson. Before you can put on what you want to put on, you better take off what you already have on. Now, that's real simple, y'all, right? But think about your own life. You come home from work and you're getting ready to go out and you're going to happy hour. You're going to hang out with your friends or you're going to your life group, right, as opposed to happy hour. And you say, man, let me get comfortable. I need to change my clothes. You don't sit there and put on your clothes on top of what you got on. It's like, no, I got to take off what I got on. Maybe I need to freshen up. Maybe I need to jump in the shower real quick. And then I am going to put on my new clothes, right? Because you recognize that you cannot put on until you have taken off. Many of you, under the sound of my voice, are struggling right now because you haven't taken off your old selves. And you're wondering why your spiritual growth is stunted, why you are not walking in Christ like you should. And I submit to you, my brothers and sisters, the problem may not be with the devil. The problem may be with the person you're looking at in the mirror. Because you have not made the commitment to take off your old nature. You're still trying to hold on to your old nature and work and walk in your new nature. The old folk used to say in the country, you're trying to hunt with the hounds and run with the hare, right? You can't do both. You got to make up in your mind who you're going to run with, who you're going to walk with, and who you are walking to become like. See, new levels of spirituality can only be reached when you make new commitments to grow in your walk with God to become more like him and less like yourself. Next level living. We love to hear that. Man, I'm going to the next level. Pastor, I'm going to the next level. Next level living requires next level commitment and next level dedication. And you need to know that God's goal for your life is not your pleasure, but you living out his purpose. That God's plan for your life is not for you to have stuff, but to become who he wants you to be. God is committed to your character development, not to the accumulation of creature comforts. It's God's goal to mature you and grow you into becoming more like Jesus. That's why I said earlier, it's sad that so many Christians grow older but never grow more mature. They are stuck in a perpetual cycle of spiritual infancy because they've never made the decision to grow spiritually. So leave here today understanding that growth is not automatic. Growth is a choice, and you must be intentional if you want to grow. You must want to grow. You must decide to grow. You must put forth the effort to grow. You must continue to work on growing. To not be conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. You've got to make a commitment to grow. And discipleship is the process of becoming not the best version of yourself, but the best version of Jesus you can be. That music genius Quincy Jones talked about how he felt when he watched the debut of the movie Ray. Quincy Jones was featured in that movie because he and Ray Charles knew each other since he was a teenage boy. And Quincy Jones said he watched in amazement as the actor Jamie Foxx made Ray Charles come alive on the screen. And he said he sat there watching the movie and he realized that he was so moved by what he was watching that there were times in the movie he forgot Jamie Foxx was playing Ray Charles and he thought he was looking at Ray Charles. His mannerisms, his tone, his tenor, his gait, and his walk, in every aspect. He said he looked so much like Ray that he thought he was watching Ray Charles on the screen. God wants us to follow Jesus in such a powerful way that when people see us, they feel like they're looking at Jesus. It's not about you becoming your best self. It's about you becoming the best version of Jesus you can be. Great song written, entitled, "I Want to Be More Like Jesus." Let me share with you some of the words. "I want to be more like Jesus and follow him day by day. I want to be true and faithful and every command obey. I want to be kind and gentle to those who are in distress, to comfort the brokenhearted with sweet words of tenderness. I want to be meek and lowly like Jesus, our friend and king. I want to be strong and earnest and souls to the Savior bring. I want to be pure and holy as the crystal snow. I want to love Jesus dearly, for Jesus loves me, I know." And the refrain says, "More and more like Jesus I would ever be. More and more like Jesus, my Savior, who died for me." My hope and my prayer for those of you who are watching, for those of you who are here under my voice, is you leave here today making a commitment to say, "You know what? I want to be more and more like Jesus." Let's pray. Father, we thank you and we bless you for this day. I pray now that somebody under the sound of my voice would hear your word and would say, "Holy Spirit, help me identify what I need to take off. Help facilitate the renewing of my mind, my thoughts, my seat of consciousness. Bring about a change in me and help me to put on this new nature." God, as people walk and they see impersonators of Elvis and Michael and Marilyn Monroe, and they are reminded of the stars they represent, may people see us and be reminded of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords that we represent. May they see so much Jesus in us that they say, "What must I do to be saved?" You said in your word, "If I be lifted up from the earth, I'll draw all men unto me." Help us to recognize, God, that we lift you when we imitate your person, your principles, and your practices, so that men and women in a dark and dying world will see you as never before. Where my prayers fall short, we ask you to make up the difference. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Come on, somebody give the Lord a hand of praise.